The Danceology Podcast interviews the great masters of dance, the working professionals starring in today's most exciting shows, and the rising stars ready to amp up the craft. I'm your host, Edita Slavinska from Dancing with the Stars. Join me as I dive into the world of dance, uncovering unique stories and the fascinating personalities of industry professionals on Danceology.
Trigger warning. This podcast addresses deeply rooted and challenging topics. It is written for open-minded individuals who are seeking insight and alternative perspectives on the complex histories of cults and their leaders. Many cults are destructive, and some of the content presented here may be emotionally triggering. This podcast is not recommended for young people, as some content may be inappropriate. Listener discretion advised. Welcome to Cult Following.
We're back with another episode of Cult Following. Hi, Dr. Katie. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Todd. Hey, Dr. Katie.
Hey, Todd. Hey, Lisa. How are you all?
Good, good.
I'm doing great.
How's everyone
been? I've been getting ready for another trip, so I've been doing really well.
Are you allowed to say to our listeners where you're going to go?
Sure, I guess so. I'm just headed to Nicaragua.
Nice.
just headed.
A little bit of
sounds
beach.
Sounds very exciting.
Yeah.
You know, I was joking before the podcast. I was joking with Lisa. I sent her a text and I said, hey, there's going to be a guy down there I want you to meet. He's going to have a package for you to bring back to me. Don't ask any questions about it. It's going to smell like coffee, but it's not really coffee.
Yeah.
Don't declare it.
Yeah, no reason to declare it.
Nothing to see here. Mm-hmm. Bring that back. That's an after party gift for everybody when we're done with the season.
That sounds very exciting. very, very exciting. I don't know about Todd's package, but the rest of it sounds exciting.
Oh man, that's funny. You know, this is twice now that you've gone on a trip while we've been doing the season of the podcast. It's almost time for you to have your own podcast about all your adventure travels. What do you think?
I mean, I would love that.
It'd have to be, you know, obviously it couldn't be audio. How boring would that be, right? But, you know, photos or videos of your journey, a video diary, going places, that might be kind of cool.
Yeah, maybe I'll try to start that on this trip. We'll see.
Well, this is a kind of a cool episode. This is like a departure from how our season's been. Dr. Katie brought to my attention a couple of weeks ago that like we've had such grim topics this season. Like everything's been like a destructive, child molesting, people dying cults. And it's been real downers. So we decided we would do an episode on MLMs. And you might think, well, how does multi-level marketing factor into the world of cults? But for me, I think really MLMs and cults are kind of like the ultimate crossover. In a way, there's a lot of similarities between these types of things. So I want to kind of kick it off by just, Dr. Katie, tell the listeners, if they're not aware, what is an MLM exactly?
So Stephen A. Hassan, a PhD, who wrote an article for Psychology Today, had a really good description and definition of MLMs. So he described them as multi-level marketing schemes, and they've been called many names, including network marketing, social marketing, pyramid schemes, Ponzi schemes, product-based sales, referral marketing, and direct sales. And MLMs are pyramid schemes that focus on recruiting people to recruit others, presumably giving a cut of the income up the chain. And so, I mean, if you have met anyone in your lifetime, you've probably encountered someone that's trying to sell you something or recruit you for an MLM. So yeah. we're talking Mary Kay, Avon. I know there are a bunch of others. They used to have
Amway.
Some...
Amway was a very famous one. And Lisa's actually got like a really detailed list on companies that have been multi-level marketing groups. You want to tell everyone a little bit about what you found?
Sure. So First was what we were just talking about, Amway, which they sell health, beauty, and home care products. There's Herbalife, which is health, nutrition, fitness, performance, skin, and body care products. A lot of them have to do with weight management specifically. New Skin Enterprises, which has to do with beauty and wellness products. I think we can see a theme here. Tupperware, which is innovative kitchen products, preparation, storage, and serving containers for the kitchen and home. Tastefully Simple, which is seasoning, sauces, dips, and meal kits. Avon, more cosmetics, skincare, jewelry, and fragrances. Primerica, they provide insurance and investment and financial services to middle-income families in the United States and Canada. DoTerra, essential oils and other related products like oil diffusers. Mary Kay, as Dr. Katie was talking about earlier, skincare and color cosmetics, beauty and personal care. Scentsy, they sell scented products, including candles, wax warmers, and other home and body products. So there's a few of the top ones that.
And I think everybody's heard about a couple of those.
Definitely.
Who hasn't heard of, you know, Avon and Tupperware? And I had forgotten about Herbalife. I remember there was a long time everyone was selling Herbalife stuff, which were like the worst vitamins ever.
Well, one thing I think is really interesting about multi-level marketing is that everybody might not know somebody that was in a cult, was in a cult, or is in a cult, but just about everybody knows somebody that was involved with a multi-level marketing company, like someone's mom, sister, cousin, coworker. They've invited you to an event. It's something else I think that is really interesting is they tend to be really honest. I've been to so many of these parties where people will just say, I'm only having this party because I'm trying to get this $200 item, or I want these products, but I'm trying to get them for free. So I'm having this party and that's the only reason I'm having it, which is kind of different from other sale tactics where you wouldn't just say, you just wouldn't be that honest, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Katie, you said Stephen Hassan wrote that Psychology Today article. He's kind of the father of like cult deprogrammers and has written a lot about cults. So it's interesting that he wrote about MLMs because he must see that there's a clear association between the two.
Yeah, he talks a lot about the similarities, right? There's a whole recruitment stage. There's kind of this idea that you're in an in-group as part of the company. And, you know, if you're not living up to whatever the standard is and recruiting people below you or bringing in an income, then, you know, you are threatened with this idea of then being a part of the out-group again. And there's this level of isolation that goes along with that. And there's some manipulation that goes along with that, right? There's some emotional manipulation there, as well as financial manipulation. And the thing about MLMs is that they don't have to be upfront about, you know, they might be honest about why they're having a party, but if they're trying to recruit you to sell things underneath of them, they don't necessarily have to tell you what that process looks like. You know, beyond, well, if you spend $300 on this big box of products, then, you know, this is potentially what you could make off of that. This is your potential profit. But you know, you got to work hard and hustle, and there's kind of a culture of that goes along with MLMs that, you know, if you're not seen as living up to that standard, then the threat is that you might become a part of that out group again. And so I think there are a lot of similarities between MLMs and cults. And I think people are just now finally starting to make that connection.
I have some interesting notes about this. You know, there's kind of a funny joke that flies around about MLMs, and that multi-level marketing is essentially just a sales model in which the salespeople buy the products, but they don't actually ever sell the products, and instead are offered rewards if they recruit other salespeople to do the same thing. and with each level of that chain, promoting the opportunity to extend the chain forever and ever and ever. And if you think about that, like I remember being a boy and my mom, you know, doing Tupperware and Avon and all that stuff. She like had so much of it she wanted for herself, you know, because you not only have the kits you have to show people, but then you want to own your own stuff. So if you made any money back, you're just buying the products. So you're just recruiting people to buy your products, which is fascinating. And I have some statistics here. 99% of people involved in MLMs lose money. Even though this is a $9.9 billion industry, someone's getting rich somewhere, insane. Which has to be at the very top, right? So this was interesting. An article on MagnifyMoney.com. This was a survey involving 1,049 multi-level marketing scheme participants from a variety of MLMs. And they, in this study, found that most people were making less than 70 cents per hour before deducting business expenses. And 60% of participants said that they had made less than $500 in the past 5 years.
Wow.
That's nuts.
Both incredible and depressing.
If we want, you know, further proof that MLMs are cults, I think we have a great example of one person in particular. And although, Elisa, you didn't mention it, but Consumers Byline, which was a very popular MLM, was Keith Raniere's MLM he started that was shut down by 20 attorney generals. And Keith Raniere, as we know, went on to start the Nexium cult. He kind of cut his teeth on MLMs before he started Nexium. And Nexium was the same way, you know, get people interested in our technology, bring them in. What do you have? Did you find anything kind of these MLMs getting in trouble, Lisa, when you were researching?
So other than Keith?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So the first one we spoke about earlier was Amway. And just a quick recap, you know, they sell health and beauty and home care products. And they were involved in a number of legal battles over the years, including allegations of operating a pyramid scheme, deceptive recruiting practices. And in 1979, they settled a lawsuit with the Federal Trade Commission and agreed to change its business practices. And the FTC, or Federal Trade Commission, also ordered Amway to cease price fixing and misrepresenting to its distributors or participants the average participant's likelihood of financial security and material success.
Wow.
Which is just, yeah. And then Herbalife, which we were talking about earlier, those amazing vitamins you were talking about, Todd. So they faced allegations again of operating a pyramid scheme and deceptive business practices. And in 2016, they agreed to pay $200 million to settle a Federal Trade Commission investigation into its business practices. And the Federal Trade Commission also said in a press release about the settlement that it's virtually impossible to make money selling Herbalife products. It's amazing that they made it that long when they said it's virtually impossible to make money with it.
Dr. Katie, oh, go ahead. Do you have more?
Yeah, I do have a couple more.
Give them all to us.
Okay, so New Skin Enterprises, they face legal challenges related, again, false advertising, deceptive marketing practices, and operating a pyramid scheme. In 1994, they settled with the FTC and agreed to pay $1.5 million to resolve allegations of deceptive advertising. And again, in 2016, New Skin agreed to pay $47 million for a settlement for operating a pyramid scheme after being sued by China in the Utah federal court. $47 million, that was quite a loss. And then Mary Kay. And while Mary Kay has not faced as many legal challenges as some of the other MLM companies, it has been involved in lawsuits related to false advertising and unfair business practices. And in 1980, they settled a lawsuit with the FTC and agreed to change their business practices. It's a pretty common theme among all of those.
And these companies are still in business.
All of them, yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts. Dr. Katie, why would a person get involved with something like this? Is it just work from home, don't want to be out in the workforce? What's going through a person's mind that wants to decide they just want to sell Avon one day? Is it healthy? Is it not healthy? Does it even matter?
Well, I mean, we're just speculating here, but I do think there is this idea, like I said before, that you get to become part of an in-group, right? And this group of people, it's probably people that are your friends or family members or both, people that you might look up to. And so you are invited to be a part of this, and there's some level of pressure, social pressure, right? And there's this idealistic view or, you know, picturesque idea that you might be able to, yeah, work from home. If you have kids, maybe that would be helpful. And they always tout this as an idea that you're also going to make a bunch of money, right? If you hustle and work hard, then you can make money and work from home, and you can also have enough money to buy some of these products for yourself. And so, you know, I think there's a combination of things, but it seems like, just like we see with cults, right, there's this idea that you get to be a part of this group of people that you feel special in some way, potentially, right? You're looking for something. This is maybe filling some void or some role in your life where you're not as happy as you'd like to be. And, you know, as we all know, if something seems too good to be true, it usually is. And so that's what we see here with these MLMs.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, to kind of piggyback off Dr. Katie, I was doing some research on this as well, and I found that they tend to that multi-level marketing companies often target individuals who are looking for supplemental income, just like she said, flexible work opportunities or the ability to be their own boss. So stay-at-home moms or parents looking for part-time work, college students or young adults seeking flexible employment, individuals with strong network of friends and family or acquaintances who can potentially become customers and or recruits, people who are passionate about health and wellness, beauty products, or other niche markets targeted by, you know, multi-level marketing, or those seeking personal development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting how kind of the multi-level marketing works, you know. The listeners aren't able to see this, but I just rearranged all the videos of the three of us talking so that it's done like a pyramid, right? So I have something I want you all to sell. So I bring on two people to sell what I want sold. And I tell you guys, hey, if you guys get two people, and that's how you build the pyramid, right? That's what the pyramid scheme is, which is interesting. So it grows and grows and grows. So I'm curious, do you feel that you always have someone to report to, right? That's how the chain of command works. You report to the person who brought you in. That's how this works. In Nexium, the DOS group was a master-slave dynamic. And I hear stories about bosses criticizing their girls' personal appearances. And you should, you know, look better. And you should do this. And you should go to these people and, you know, get your hair done and get a makeover so you're prettier and you sell more. There's a lot of push like that from bosses on every level of these pyramid schemes. And these pyramid schemes might be hundreds, if not thousands, of layers deep in these organizations, especially the worldwide ones. Let's talk for a minute about that, Dr. Katie, and how that might be unhealthy with sort of that, you know, big sister, little sister, mother, daughter, master slave dynamic. Can people take advantage of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously when there's a power dynamic that is especially shadowed in less than truthful things, then it usually is problematic. So, I mean,
it's Mary Kay though, where the girls have like the pink Cadillacs, right?
Yes, I was going to say, if we get through this whole episode and don't bring up the pink Cadillac.
You must have a lot of people working under you to be able to get that status, right?
Right.
Right.
I do think that there's probably a lot of manipulation that goes along with that. And selling them the idea more than more than they care about trying to actually help the person that they're recruiting.
Sure.
I think they're selling the idea so that they can have, you know, what they want to get out of it. And it's kind of like big fish eats little fish over and over and over again. And then, you know, you can kind of feel like a boss too, right? There was this whole like hashtag girl boss and, you know, just this idea of being your own boss, right? And I think that that grew out of these MLMs. And so, you know, it's like, well, you get to feel like you're working for yourself, but you're not really. Yeah. You're part of this much bigger scheme, and you're not really making any money. Like we've said, you're not making money, and a lot of the money that you do make, which is probably not very much, especially now where you can buy everything online and buy better products and have more access to information and research on what you're buying. You're probably spending most of that money, if not all of it, and then likely some of your own money that you didn't make from this MLM on buying more product. So it's kind of this just endless cycle.
This whole endless cycle is built, is based on people. You know, it's all got to be a people-based business, right? And I mean, everybody's heard this term, Tupperware party. Everybody.
Yeah.
It's been around for 50 years, 60 years. And it doesn't matter. A little kid will have heard that term, Tupperware party. Because that's what you did, right? You had your display kit and you invited all your friends and all your family members. And the person you reported to was like, hey, why don't you get your cousin to sell too? Like, that's what they'll do. And, you know, then you start roping people in to start selling while you're having these parties where you're trying to, you know, sell to your neighbors.
You usually get some type of incentive. Like if two people show up or sign up at your party to have their own parties, then you get a special bonus. So, of course, while you're at your party, you're really pushing that networking and being like, hey, just sign up. Just even if you just sign up. I mean, they would always tell me, just sign up, even if you don't do it. Like, I just want to get this, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That they're trying to obtain.
And sometimes that's all they need is your information, you know?
I mean,
that mailing list alone is worth a lot for these organizations.
Well, it's really funny talking about going back to Mary Kay and the pink Cadillac. So my next door neighbor sells Mary Kay, and she was in the running last year for the pink Cadillac.
I did not even know that Mary Kay was still around, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I don't, it's definitely not as popular, I think, as it used to be, but obviously since she's my neighbor, I don't know how exactly it works. Like the top, so many people go to an event. It's like only the top like 5 or 10 people. It's not a lot. And then I think they do a drawing out of those however many people for the Cadillac, but she made it the running last year, which I thought was kind of funny. Speaking about that, it's literally my next door neighbor.
Bare Minerals was another one of those types of scams, you know, but you know, normal, maybe consumers out there, housewives that don't know any better, they're not out buying, you know, Smashbox or MAC cosmetics. They just get, you know, that's what they get. That's what they wear. You know, it doesn't occur to them to think to buy anything more expensive, or maybe, you know, budget wise, they can't. Even though I don't think Mary Kay is actually fairly expensive from what I hear, though.
I think it is. I was going to say, and they have, you know, they'll hand out really nice brochures that look very professionally done. And I mean, it is still a business. It's just that it's really, like you said earlier, Todd, it's really just that top 1% of people that is turning any kind of profit. And I have a feeling that they are not the ones that are out there
hustling.
Yeah. Hustling or girl bossing, or, you know, trying to sell the actual product.
We've talked about the business aspect of MLMs. Let's change the conversation over a little bit to how this formula may work in organized religion or in cults. You know, I think let's take the Catholic Church for an example. The Vatican Bank, a lot of people don't know this, but the Vatican Bank is actually the richest bank in the world. It's a true story. They're so rich that they actually got in the movie business in the 70s and the 80s and started producing films because they just had no way to get their money out there. You know, So literally it's not only the richest of all the churches, of all the organized religions, but it's actually the richest bank. The Vatican Bank is the richest bank. So that's insane. And of course they don't reveal their numbers, but I mean, what's that going to be? $1 trillion? Like what are they going to have to be bigger than, say, a Capital One or something else?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
But what do they do at every church? They pass the hat, don't they? So where does that go? It goes up the tier. So not that this is necessarily a pyramid scheme, but you have a church, you have parishioners in a church. It goes to the head of that church, which then all the churches that are in the diocese, which could be a dozen Catholic church, it all goes to the diocese. And then it goes to the top diocese, the one that's in the country that you're in. And then it goes to Italy. It's a pyramid scheme in a way, right? That involves the entire world of Catholics. And what are Catholics? I've mentioned this many times before. Christianity is the largest religion in the world, which accounts for 52% of the people that are in religion are Christians in the world, right? So if there's 8 billion people on the planet, 4 billion of them are Christians. And the highest percentage of Christians are Catholics. I don't have those exact figures on, how many are, but the majority of those Christians are Catholics. This is a lot of people going to church every Sunday, dropping $1, $2, $5, $10. This isn't even counting the people that make large donations from their check every week or give gifts to the church once a year for their big charitable deduction of 30 grand, or those lonely old ladies that have no one to give their money to, and they give their estate of millions and millions of dollars to the Catholic Church when they die. So many people leave all their belongings to the Catholic Church. Could it be a pyramid scheme? What do you guys think?
I think there are similarities. There's a lack of I can't think of the word. I've lost it.
It's not revenue generating. The Catholic Church isn't like revenue generating in terms of like the Pope's getting rich at the top, you know?
Yeah.
And you would think that a lot of that money goes to charitable causes all over the world. You would like to think, right? But
they still have a business to run, essentially. We know that they're not paying taxes. So, who's getting the money? And I'm guessing it's probably not everyone that could use it that's a part of the church.
Probably a lot of settlement money going out too
from the Catholics.
I do know the Catholics the Catholic Action Center I know actually does a lot of good in helping people that are below the poverty level or unhoused, so they do some outreach work that seems to be pretty effective, more so I would say than other denominations that I'm aware of.
They usually handle a lot of like the soup kitchens and homeless shelters too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think they are putting that, but I feel like that's also a fraction.
They have their school system too. They have their own school system. So they must put money into education to a significant amount. It's a lot of Catholic schools.
But then again, is it still leaning, heavily, right? They have their hands in all these pots and they're being helpful in some way, but they're also, that's also a way to potentially get people to become a part of the Catholic Church as well. And so.
Exactly. Right. Everybody in any church says, hey, we've got to fill these pews, get a friend to come in, marry into the church. It's very common that you see that. Right. So again, I think everyone that listens to our podcast knows that we're not passing any kind of judgment on any of these things. We leave it to the listener to decide, when all this is over, what constitutes, a cult or an MLM or whatever it might be. So certainly not pointing fingers at the Catholic Church, but the first example, right? I think everybody knows about that, secret celebrity church that's out in LA that everybody talks about that we don't like to name because we don't want them to come after us. But they got a lot of books and they've got a lot of a lot of classes and things like that. And of course, they're really pushy. Bring your friend in, you know, pay a lot of money.
I think pushy is an understatement.
Yeah. They're pushy in many ways. They're pushy to get you to come in, and then they're pushy if you leave and they still come after you. And then, you know, if you can't get your family to join or sign on, quit talking to your family, you know?
That's a very delicate subject, but I think buying my way into heaven isn't something I'm fully on board with.
And for them, that's not really so much even heaven, as much as you get to level 8 or 9 or whatever you're supposed to get to, and then you've got, you know, the powers to heal people and all of that stuff. But you know, their pyramid scheme is more about, hey, you know, we'll give you a taste cheap. First book's free. Second book costs you $500. Third book costs you $5,000. Fourth book. And then they'll flunk you out of certain levels and make you do it again. Now you got to pay for these classes again, and you got to own the books. Sometimes they give you a deal if you buy all the books at once, but it requires you to mortgage your house to do it or turn your house over to them. So their pyramid scheme is kind of like working up a ladder in a way. So maybe not so much a pyramid scheme, but elements of it for sure. I think that fits.
Definitely.
Yeah. So like you're talking about the levels, I think there are still then, you know, people below other people, and then there's inevitably going to be 1, 2, 3 people at the very top. And so I think you can kind of connect it in that way. They use a lot of pseudoscience too, I think, and present it as if it's fact. And a lot of it seems to contradict actual science. And so, you know, I think that is definitely a manipulation tactic that is used in cults, in multi-level marketing schemes, and Nixium, like you mentioned earlier. I think that's the main one that stands out to me that really had this pyramid type setup.
Stephen Hassan developed the BITE model, and the BITE model are 4 things that you really look at to see if you're in a cult. So I think he actually maybe even mentions that in the article that you wrote. I can't remember. But for him to write about MLMs being cults meant that a lot of the things that happen in this BITE model of whether you may or may not be in a cult is suitable to a lot of these companies in terms of how, you know, the personal effect that your boss has on you, and the kind of the hold they have on you, economically even. Nixium is a great example because, you know, Keith got in trouble running an MLM and essentially took that model to be his, you know, self-help group and recruiting.
He cranked it up a few notches.
Yeah, he did. He cranked it up a few notches. I do want to touch on something else because this MLMs are not necessarily always limited to cults. And I think this is really fascinating. I'm going to read what I wrote down here, that self-help, self-development groups use self-improvement and counseling to target people in corporations, making claims that by taking their courses or their seminars that they'll be successful. And they exercise an intense group influence and can have a major impact on their members' mental statuses. And members lose their personal boundaries. They put the leader or the guru on a pedestal, and criticism against the leader or the group is met with resistance. And some of this Katie talked about at the beginning of the podcast. These groups will often rent large hotel spaces and run workshops and seminars for many days, sometimes 12 hours a day. And these groups are actually called large group awareness trainings. That's what these are. And I think everybody has seen these, and they've all been advertised in all the big cities. We've all seen these things come around. They promise personal transformations, but they're not necessarily run by trained mental health professionals, nor are there any sufficient screenings done ahead of time to determine if a person is too unstable or too fragile a point in their lives to even go to these types of seminars. And we see these at Holiday Inns, and we see these in giant arenas, depending on who the people are that come. Very powerful hypnotic techniques are often used in these trainings, as well as powerful public confrontations using curse words and other shock techniques. But this was what I thought was really great that I wanted to bring up, because this is someone who's very popular that you might not even think is doing things that might be a little naughty. And if you wish to get a sense of one of the most financially successful transformational groups, look at Netflix's Tony Robbins, I Am Not Your Guru special. Robbins is trained in neuro-linguistic programming. Boy, that's a tongue twister. And he well knows the power of hypnotic words. Dr. Katie, can you speak to NLP a little bit and how powerful that can be? And maybe a little about Tony Robbins and how you guys feel about him. No one wants to think of Tony Robbins as a cult leader, right? But
well, I might have a different opinion. Yeah. I, as someone who is a little bit skeptical of that kind of public speaking, I think for quite a while I've thought that this just seems off. It just seems like a money grab. He's providing people with kind of just like quotable quotes or ideas that they likely have heard before. And like you said, maybe just presented in a different way. And he's using his charisma, right, to present these things so that people will think that they're hearing something new for the first time. And it's likely something that they already know or they've heard before, or it's not really any kind of novel idea. It's maybe the Seven Secrets or something like that. Rachel Hollis wrote a book, and then she's also been at a lot of these MLM parties or, you know, public speaking events that you're talking about. But I do think, you know, if you get someone who's a very powerful public speaker, we've seen this throughout history, right? This, that really can sway large groups of people. And then if you combine that with the idea, like I was talking about earlier, that you're in this in-group and you're kind of special, and then you start to get this group think happening potentially, and, you know, people influence each other very mob easily mentality. Without even realizing it. Yeah. And so, you know, I think this is why critical thinking skills are so important, and questioning people that you see and things that you read and hear, and being able to try to discern what you believe for yourself and is so important for everyone. But especially if you find yourself following gurus or public speakers like that. I think this is something that we see in cults too, right? They're likely very charismatic and can rope people in and charm them. And then, you know, people may not realize initially what's going on.
It's hilarious. Even the name of his special, I'm Not Your Guru. It's like he puts it right out there to get you to not think about it. Right. But he is kind of right. His joke is about, I'm going to tell you not to think about a white horse. And then you think about a white horse, right? Like that's the joke about NLP is that's how you kind of get it to work on people. Tony Robbins will still sell his tickets for his big hotel ballroom events, $500 a pop, right? But now you can actually order a virtual meeting with him on Zoom, $5,000 for an hour, $2,000 wow. for 30 minutes. Like he'll just sit at home on Zoom and meet with people and just cash. You can crazy numbers, right? He's got some books. Everybody knows him. He's shown up in movies. Charismatic. What's the one thing we see with all these cult leaders? Charisma. Got to have some charisma. And he's like 7 foot tall. He's bigger than life, you know?
It can be a little intimidating too.
Yeah, for sure. And the group think, I think whether it's in a church or it's in, it's a roadside revival, or it's in a cult meeting, or it's in an AA meeting, or it's in a hotel ballroom, the way the group think really starts to feed is when you see someone having, whether it's real or it's a plant, I don't even think it matters, a person having an experience. Then you feel like, wow, that person's having an experience. I should be having an experience. This is the real deal. You know, and if you're not experiencing it, you start to convince yourself why you aren't. Well, there must be something wrong with me. I've got to get to that place.
Trying hard enough.
Yeah. Do you think that holds water, Dr. Katie?
I think so. Yes. Yeah. I think on some level, you know, and being up on a stage and all the lighting, and I mean, this is a professional production, right? This is a theater production, essentially. And you see this person and begin to idolize them, whether or not you realize it in that moment. And you think, oh, well, they're successful. They're doing all of these things that I want to do, whether or not I have the actual skills for that or capability to do that. And so, well, if I just do what they say, then I will be like them. And so, you know, I think, yeah, there's a lot of similarity.
As we get that approach to the kind of the end of the show here, I want to mention something that Father Dan had said to me once, because I think it's really kind of fitting here at the end. But, you know, when you read a book and sometimes you'll highlight a quote that really resonates with you. I mean, I think anyone that writes any kind of new thought leader, new religious movement, I always find some nuggets in there that are good. Like even Dianetics, people criticize L. Ron Hubbard. And, you know, you're right. There's a lot of pseudoscience and that stuff. But I'll tell you what. There's some stuff he wrote in the 50s that science has just proven. And it's like, this guy was on, he had theories that wound up working out. And there's some real brilliance to some of his writing. Most of it's not great, but there's some things that you're just like, wow, how could he possibly have thought so deeply to find that? But what I'll say is this is, you know, sometimes the words will resonate with you. Sometimes the stage show does, but Father Dan, I produce Father Dan's Karate Priest podcast. And he told me once why Mass is so so moving to people in church. And he said, it uses all of you. And I was like, what do you mean it uses all of you? And he said, every sense you have, it uses. You hear beautiful music. You're seeing this beautiful chapel. You know, you're tasting the blood of Christ. You know, so it's everything. It's smell. There's incense. And when you can have that, when you can get all the senses in one place, they have you. And it's, I think it's really fascinating. So not to like to tilt it back over on the Catholic Church, but it's really interesting. And think about how few experiences you have in life that actually use all of you. And that's why a lot of people, I'm not a foodie, right? But like a lot of people are foodies because they enjoy how food can use all of you. You can see a plate of food that's beautiful, that looks like a work of art. You smell it. You taste it, you hear things crunch. It's really kind of interesting. So really effective cults or really effective programming or whatever you want to call it should try to use all of you in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. Yeah, I mean, using your senses and I think overstimulation almost on some level is very powerful. If you can evoke an emotion, a strong emotion from somebody, or a feeling of nostalgia, or a sense that they're accepted and, or that they've been there before, or that they've met people like that before, some familiarity. I think all of those things are really powerful and impactful in swaying people, in persuading people to go along with what you have to say.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to start with you two. Your job for next week, Lisa, Katie, I need you all to find two people to listen to the podcast and let's have them recommend the podcast for two more people because, you know, we do make YouTube revenue from this. So if we can just keep telling people to spread the podcast to other people, we've got our own pyramid scheme going.
Exactly.
What do you think?
We'll add in some high pressure tactics, a little bit of manipulation, a sense of exclusivity, like winning.
Katie needs a new car, people. She's looking right now. So everybody do your best to go out and find two more people. Everyone listening, is your job to find two. Call your cousin, your aunt, mom in a nursing home. Get them to listen to the podcast. We need the numbers to go up. We're gonna do another one of these MLM part two on the next season, and we're going to follow up of whether this worked.
Look at our data. I will try to avoid a pink Cadillac. I will say that.
We want the first MLM podcast.
Yeah, I might opt out of that one. Although it sounds like it wouldn't be too harmful. So
they just call that going viral on social media, right?
Yeah, basically, it's just going viral.
It's a legal way of doing it, I suppose. But anyways, you guys, thanks for coming out and doing this today. We've just got a couple more episodes left in the season. And Lisa, do you want to take us out?
Sure. So thanks again for listening, everyone. Be sure to rate and review this episode. You can find us on Facebook at Cult Following Podcast and on Instagram at Join the Cult Following. If you have questions or comments for us, you can send them to jointhecultfollowing@gmail.com.
All right. Well, good night, everyone.
Until next time, yeah. Keep following.
Metacortex Publishing hopes that you've enjoyed this presentation.
Please take a moment to listen to some other podcast offerings from Metacortex Publishing.
A quest is a search for something. And every week, the Quest podcast will show you how we know what we know through interviews with people that have incredible stories of dedication and perseverance. I'm your host, Todd Fisher. Join me in this thought-provoking and inspiring podcast of discovery. Find us anywhere you listen to podcasts.
The No Earthly Explanation podcast investigates the things that are unexplainable. Hosted by world-renowned investigative researcher Donald R. Schmidt and scientist Ellie Ringo, follow them as they look for evidence for things that have no earthly explanation. Available anywhere you listen to podcasts.
I'm Amber Rose, the religious hippie, and I host the podcast A Catholic's Perspective. Join me every 2 weeks as I release episodes targeted towards helping young Catholics navigate their ever-changing secular world while staying strong in their faith. Whether you are a Catholic or not, all are welcome here. So if this is something that interests you, feel free to tune in. You can find A Catholic's Perspective on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I hope to see you there. Bye!
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please be sure to rate and review this episode. This podcast is produced by Todd Fisher and Anthony Smith and is distributed by Metacortex Publishing. This podcast is copyright. Any previously trademarked or copyright content is used by permission. Information and opinions stated in this podcast should not be construed as medical advice. Please be sure to visit the official website for Metacortex Publishing at metacortexpublishing.com or find us on social media for other unique content.